He just left, man. Just left. But thankfully, now he's back. What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 21 of Inside the Game. I'm DJ Wheat, joined by, as always, our guest, Pain User, Idra, and In Control. What the hell's up, gentlemen? How you been this week?
Doing good, my friend.
Yeah. Wait, Jeff, were you trolling on the Deezer thing, or were you dead serious right there? I didn't see the beginning of that.
Oh, I always read Greg's fan page because it's actually hilarious, the things that he posts in there. It's like way too serious. Greg loses a match and they're like, come on, brothers, join arms. Just like, Greg will be back stronger than ever. I just know it. Or like when he wins, they're like, I knew he had it in him. And they like hold up a picture of like his face on like a placard and they're like, I wore it all week. It's like, oh, shit.
I was watching your stream the other day, Greg, and I think I saw you actually go up against Deezer like multiple times in a row, and on the second or third time, just like pretty much F10 end out. And I was like, good for Greg.
Yeah, it's not worth playing him. I mean, he's just like, he doesn't even try and hide that he's cheating anymore. It's just a waste of time.
Yeah, it doesn't. I saw Chef basically like, you know, he would type in the chat and he would respond in game to what was being said in the chat. So it's kind of done like that. But so yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's even beyond stream cheating. Like, I'm pretty sure they just like map hack.
Well, he's been caught hacking on alternate accounts.
Yeah,
and he was a hacker in Warcraft 3, so he's like, no, he's just a complete dirtbag.
He's got it going on, man.
He's working out though. He says he's going to go to an MLG next year. Okay, he's working out so that he can fight off the mobs of 45 people that are going to
spearheaded by In Control. Apart, yeah. And
I think at least 4 or 5 of us have threatened him at this point. So.
4 or 5, at least, I think.
Like, competitive players who keep stream sniping, I think.
Yeah.
So. I'll just go for long range face stomps.
Anyway.
From, like, 6 feet away.
6 feet. Make like it 7, and we'll call it good. So, all right, well, welcome, of course. Got a big weekend this upcoming weekend as MLG Providence graces us. The final event for MLG 2011 as they go into their new season in 2012. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. Some sudden controversy that has come up. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, for the most part, like, we haven't gotten too much into sort of the drama, if you will, that StarCraft II has brought to us. We've talked about a few things. But this is kind of interesting, as we had two, you know, pretty well-known Korean players have an incident during a matchup where now both of them are suspended from their teams and some punishments are being dealt out. Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah.
Are you aware? Oh my God, Jeff is playing Portal right now.
With this guy. Now you're thinking with portals.
We will talk maybe a little bit about that. We'll take some questions, and then of course we'll take some phone calls tonight.
This is an interesting thing to me because actually in Brood War, Koreans were infamous for this kind of stuff. Like, and I'm not talking about the MTH degree, which is the Savior Bet scandal where people were actually rigging major matches. I'm talking about if you invited Koreans to your tournament in Brood War, you had to check their key logs because all the time they would swap names, they'd play for each other, they didn't really care, it just wasn't that big of a deal to them. Or in tournaments like WCG, Stork, X, and White Rock got in a situation where they actually, at the 2007 USA, or excuse me, World Championships, they played something like 7 tiebreakers. Because literally, each of them knew, they had to play some other Korean. Like Stork was, if he won the group, he was going to have to play somebody else or something. So each of them had a reason to lose. So they all just kept losing to each other. And they like the 5th and 6th time, they literally had admins come over and go like, guys, what the hell is going on? They're like,
It wasn't obvious in any way.
It was completely obvious.
Oh, okay.
Everyone knew.
They were not trying to hide it at all.
Okay.
Like, his zealots would be running in front of the army. Greg was telling me about that. I forgot about that part. But this stuff happened all the time. WCG, mysteriously, zealots would go mass marine, only marines, in, like, a TBT at the time when... and people in StarCraft 2 were like, what? What's wrong with that? That sounds fantastic. People are doing that all the time. You didn't do that in Brood War. If you went mass marines in TBT in Brood War, you were actually trying to lose, which these players would do. So, I mean, that the point I'm trying to make is that stuff happened all the time. Now, in StarCraft II, I think because of like, basically the Korean world and the non-Korean world coming together, people don't fuck around with that stuff anymore. Like, if that kind of thing happens, shit goes down. So that's why Slayer's nuked the crap out of Coca, one of their best players. They're like, you're off the team, you're out of the house, you're out of Code S. And all he did was, like, Beyond was like, hey, if I win, I get something. If you win, you get nothing. He's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I should just leave this game.
Peace. And then
I don't know. I actually kind of disagree with that. Partially disagree. It is all about the public perception, and foreigner versus Korean might have something to do with it, but it's not just StarCraft 2. Like, Koreans are still kind of dirty in StarCraft 2. I've heard a lot of stories about how, like, if they're all in team houses, one of them will open up a stream and tell the other player what's going on while he's playing and all this shit like that.
That's really weird, because you wouldn't perceive that from their culture on the outside. It's like...
Not at all, right?
No, they're really dirty. Everything Jeff was saying about how they would play on each other's accounts and all that. And I'm not sure if they do that in Korean leagues, too. I know there's lots of scandals in, like, Brain Clan team leagues and, like, the smaller Korean team leagues and stuff. So I guess it is kind of just in everything. But, yeah, and when Korean teams participated in foreign clan leagues back in StarCraft 1, it was kind of terrible. You go on TL and see all this stuff about honorable Korean culture.
Oh, God.
They're responding so well to Coca doing this. No, they're full of shit.
I'm glad Greg said that, and he's like, he's the man for the job. He can take that story. Didn't care if people get mad at him, but it's actually the truth. Like, it was so funny in a few of these scandals. People are like, in Korea they did business like that? Oh my God, that's so weird. Or like, in this situation they'll be like, that's just goes against the Korean culture, and that's not how they do it. And I feel like everyone that says that is like these StarCraft 2 newbies, because... It's just the way it works over there. Like, it's not a big deal to them, as, like, they've just always done it. It's just never been a big deal. So, this is, the punishment is purely public perception, as far as I'm concerned. I think Greg would agree with that. And,
yeah.
The part that annoys me the most of this, because, like, Coco will be back. He's a good enough player. He's going to tear up Code A. He's going to get back into Slayer's house. He's a fantastic player. He made a mistake. You know, you don't do, like, they actually chatted that in the game. Like, the guy was like, hey, can you leave the game? And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll leave the game. And then game 3, I'll leave that one too. Like, you gotta, I guess if you're gonna do that, you gotta be a whole hell of a lot more sneaky than that, because now people
and, like, use a chat program or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, isn't StarCraft 2 sometimes considered a chat program?
Depends.
Here's what they said while the game was going on. And then the translation of it down below. I got dominated, fuck. You have to put down a planetary. I have 3 expansions. It's not that mutas. Leave, fuck, fuck, fuck. I surrender.
Yeah,
let's go
really
to
nice.
A third game. Okay, GG. Leaves game. Fuck. Oh, actually, I just added the fuck at the end for...
I would actually pay money to have DJ Wheaton Day 9 cast that so I could see their faces when they just leave, like at MLG. Like, DJ Wheaton's famous fingers going like,
Oh shit!
That gif is one of the best. It's my favorite.
I don't know that I have it here.
It's not one of my favorite ones.
No. Oh, that's okay, Idra. It's okay. It is probably a cat one, isn't it?
Surprised they actually kicked them out for that.
What?
They had to.
That's one of the things actually the people from, like, online, some of the questions that came in, because believe it or not, a lot of questions came regarding this, is that they asked, do you think that the punishment was too harsh, or was it needed, a good punishment overall? What do you guys think?
They had to. I mean, if it's that public, and, I mean, with the stuff they've been dealing with already, with the scandals, that, you know, stuff that goes on over there, they have to come down like a ton of bricks. Coco is made an example of, you know, and I guarantee you that shit ain't going to happen again. I mean, there might be fixing, there might be rigging, which, I mean, take the might out, there will be. but it sure as hell won't be that public. The guys will be a lot more careful, that's for sure.
Right. We lost Pena's again, but he'll be back. Greg, what's your thoughts on that?
Appropriate, pretty much. I don't know. I'd say it's kind of appropriate just because they were so dumb about it. It wasn't public. And especially in Korea, we have to be really, really careful about that because of the StarCraft 1 betting scandal that really hurt esports in the eyes of the public. So they're going to crack down, like, immediately really, really hard on anything that the public could be aware of. And rightfully so. They have to protect esports image like that. But yeah, the punishment doesn't really suit the crime if you just look at it. It's something that ended up not being that important, and Koka lost so much. So it sucks for him, but he was dumb about it, and you can't really complain given that.
Right. My big thought is that, you know, first and foremost, it really was kind of like mind-boggling that it all took place on a live stream. You know, that's how it went down. I'm not sure what they were actually thinking. Not to say that it would have been right if they covered it up, but there is, like, it's kind of like when you watch Cops and you're just kind of like, you know what, criminal? Like, couldn't you have been, like, maybe a little bit smarter about it? You know, you're not really rooting for the criminal, but you're just hoping at least they don't completely fucking fail. That's kind of what I feel like happened here in a major, major way. So it's just kind of surprising because they're players that don't necessarily need to do that. And even if it was goodwill, you know, we can't be having that shit going on. So I don't know.
The translation just doesn't even make sense.
What do you mean? I mean, leave, fuck. What are you not understanding there?
Like, it's just like a bunch of like random words that it's just like gibberish. Like, I don't know. It seems like they were trying to disguise it, but just like in a really immature, stupid way. Like, it's obvious what they were doing, but like I think the extra wordage is just like trying to confuse people.
No, they weren't trying to hide it.
Do you think he was literally just like leave, fuck, like,
yeah. It probably sounds better in Korean, I mean. But no, yeah. I don't. Right, that's scary. The only thing, I saw someone say that they thought they'd get away with it because it's a foreigner tournament, and they just figured no one speaks Korean or something.
Wow.
It's stupid if that's
that is, if, I mean, that is like amazing, that is, are they still using VCRs over there type of a question? Like, what, how could they not understand the whole concept of technology and that?
No, I think they just meant that, like, no one would be able to read it because it was in Korean. Like, no one would translate
it. Man.
This is the internet, man. We can figure everything out.
Exactly. Everything.
Google Translator, fucking baby.
They'll never speak Mohican, and then, like, someone's like, you son of a bitch. I know you just called me a moon bear pig. I know. There's five people out there going, moon bear pig? He means man bear pig. No, I mean moon bear pig.
Last of the Mohicans, Jeff in control, Robinson.
Yeah. Easy.
The other interesting thing that kind of came up, and I believe that it was in this thread, is that, you know, of course, like, Diamond from ESV did say, of course, that both players have been now removed from the Korean Weekly, obviously. But there was also something to be said about, because the format of GSL has changed, that there was no sort of concrete concept of now the Code A slot that was once available for the Korean Weekly. So I don't know. It's kind of like a lot is up in the air with all of this. It's kind of crazy. Feel bad for those guys.
I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't want to downplay it. It's just not that big of a deal. Like, I think, I don't know.
Word.
I hope people just don't get too fired up about this stuff too often, because I don't want to get into this rut where the community needs drama once a week so that we can, you know, like,
sure.
There's some things that deserve attention. Like, in my opinion, the what happened at the IPL qualifier in East Asia.
Right.
That was pretty bad. That deserves attention.
You
want to
talk
about
that a little bit?
We can do that. On the subject of not wanting us to talk too much about drama, let's move on to the next.
Honestly, a lot of people were messaging about that. Yeah. I know that. There's now some additional news as well. That, of course, being that through the efforts of IGN and IPL, they sort of sort of, I mean, banded together and created a way to try to make all this right, which I think is phenomenal, and I hope it gets some headlines in itself. But I think generally the consensus is that we saw what could possibly be described as the sort of first true StarCraft-like failure in a major way. Certainly not IGN or IPL's fault. Definitely seemed to be like the fault of one individual, which is pretty amazing, guys, but that's all it takes. Anyway, I'm sure you have some thoughts, Mr. In Control. What do you think?
Well, first, I would say my sympathies go out to the people that were affected, like the direct people. I know that Amanda is kind of being made as like the poster person. She was the one held accountable for the big bill, facing potential jail time even. So that's where it starts to get into your actual life. And I mean, this is what we do for work. This is our passion. We love this. I'm not trying to downplay StarCraft in general or the community, but when people start getting their entire lives and families affected by a tournament like that, it's really important that we band together to make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again and that we do what we can to fix it. So I think IPL and IGN, or IGN, Twitch, everyone that worked on that to help her out, that was really awesome. So, you know, congrats to them, and hopefully it was enough. But also the C community, I know that they took a lot of pride that this was one of their first kind of major events that they were putting on that the world was going to watch, and it went really, really bad. And then I read all the comments. I followed the threads. A lot of them were like, gosh, you know, don't judge us for this. We have a really awesome community here. There's a lot of energy. We want to do better. And that would be one of the things I'd want to say now is just give them another chance. You know, don't give Gus a chance. That guy's absolute trash. We'll talk about that in a second. But the community itself, there's a lot of really excited and motivated people in the C server area and that part of the world that want to put on tournaments and stuff. So hopefully the greater community gives them another chance, because I think they have a lot to share. But
I definitely agree with that.
I mean, I think everyone knows what happened. Basically, the tournament went really poor. Sound was bad. Delays, 9 hours. There was streams dropping on and off again. But then there was some weird drama going on behind that. One player got bumped off the flight list because he wasn't one of the actual two. He was just a replacement, which was just a shady way of getting in a player affiliated with a guy that ran the whole thing, Gus. And supposedly there was an apology in the background there, but we'll have to see if that actually pans out. The player is Yoon YJ from Australia, I do believe. So yep. Hopefully, you know, he gets some kind of reparation there as well, because he got shanked out of a tournament, man. He was supposed to go and just didn't. And then weird stuff inside the tournament itself. Just the guy appearing and disappearing without, you know, any kind of response. And in general, just really, really bad. So, I mean, the bill is the really big thing. The tournament failing and faltering like that, it is what it is. But when players are starting to get affected, people are facing jail time and stuff, that's when we have to look at a guy like that and say, I mean, we have to bring it the capitalist model. Like, he should not be part of our community when we have tournaments that are doing a damn fine job. Like, why would we ever settle for that kind of performance? And that
yeah,
kind of
for sure. And it's like,
just get the word out and never support anything he ever does again if he shows up again.
It's really hard to screen for stuff like that, too, because, I mean, we just recently started picking up, like, third-party satellite organizations to help run our qualifiers. And when you're doing that, like, you know, with multiplay.co.uk, they had, like, 43 previous events or something like that. So they know what they're doing. They've run events before. They have experience. With PPSL, they were actually going to run their event at the exact same time that we were running IPL3. So it was a perfect fit for us to, like, partner up with them and just be like, hey, run our IPL4 qualifier later down the line. That way we could use Tasteless and Artosis for an IPL-related event. And they announced this huge player list, like, a bunch of CODES players, and so we were all for it. We were all about it. And then eventually, yeah, this Gus guy, like, miscommunications, like, inability to communicate, all this kind of stuff just kind of snowballed out of control. And then once the actual tournament happened, it was just like complete disaster. So on our end, we were just like, all right, look, you either have to get things together on your end and make it happen, or we're going to have to pull out. And they didn't. And so we ended up pulling out. And then that's how the whole Amanda thing started. She was the one who footed the major bill on all the players' travel expenses and stuff like that. So
and
that's what we were doing last night.
And that's where a lot of the controversy, right, which was an effort to pay it back. It sounds like it has been. So her company is not necessarily in danger.
I think we raised $46.50 on the stream, and then JTV is I don't know if they're matching that, but whatever revenue you guys made off the stream as well, you guys are donating to the cause, I'm pretty sure, too. So,
And as far as I know, it's all been covered, which is great.
Yeah.
So, you know, hats off to them. Now, additionally, it sounded like, because some people were talking about, what's this about facing jail time? And at the end of the day, it basically sounds like the travel agency that she worked for footed that bill because someone had to pay it. And now they are in a situation where they could be held delinquent for that, for whatever reason. That could mean like negligence and hence, bring, I guess, charges to be pressed, et cetera. So that should be alleviated. It sounds like everything is sort of A-okay now.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's just a local law thing.
Yep. Don't give that guy another chance, and let the C server recuperate, and then hopefully deliver on the next tournament.
Yeah, hopefully.
Like, originally, we were going to partner with them sort of as a sponsorship type deal, and then Gus, like all of that branding that you saw, like all of the PPSL IPL4 stuff, all the graphic work, like we didn't send them any of that. Like that all just kind of popped out of nowhere, and then you saw what happened. So we ultimately just kind of had to pull out and cut ties, but we did end up fulfilling our end of the contract, like 100%.
Well, I think you guys, I mean, I think it's fair to say that you sort of went above and beyond at the end of the day. I think a lot of people could have very easily just said, look, this can't be our problem. So the fact that, you know, they stepped up to do something about it, I certainly, when I look at a company like that, I certainly respect that because I know it can be really easy to just kind of not my thing to deal with. So this was like CXG number two. Second time I've kind of seen something like that completely fall apart in esports in a major way. But hopefully good things will happen in the future. So I'm really looking forward to the multiplayer event. Those guys, like you said, are like on top of shit. This is going to be the I-44, which means that they've run 43 lands. I remember a couple guys that I worked with back in actually Radio ITG, which happens to be, you know, what the show is named after, where they were like casting multiplay 15 and shit. So, I mean, these guys are hardcore about these events and have been covering them since as far as I can remember. So this should be really solid, not to mention the amount of players that are there is pretty sick. In fact, the Muslim's going to be there, right?
Yep.
Is he the only EG member repping you guys there?
It's in Britain. We got to send our Britain warrior, man. Can't have them without our good old Brit.
Right. I was going to see if I had the link to that. Sorry. What's the link for the multiplay event? The I-44 event.
Multiplay.co.uk.
Okay.
Hold on.
I can send you the link, but if I did, you'd never learn to find links for yourself.
Oh, look at you go. Well, it doesn't have the... Dude, this isn't what I caught. Pain user. Fail it. There we go. You see, I-44 online CS source. They did their online. Awesome. Anyway, you can check that out. I believe it is the, is it the same event or the same day as, yep, here it is.
Same weekend as MLG, I think.
Thank you, Idra.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
I could have told you that. I just don't know the website off the top of my head.
I found the website.
Good work.
Yeah. In 2 days, 8 hours, 23 minutes, 12 seconds, that begins. You can book your ticket right there. Insomnia, UK's biggest gaming festival. Still Harrison. Sign up for tournaments and a whole lot going on there. So look forward to checking that out as well. So, yeah, and the other event going on, obviously, guys. MLG, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Then we'll take our break, and we'll take some phone calls. And, you know, I think that there's a couple very big storylines coming out of MLG. The first one, of course, being the open bracket and some of the monsters that are coming out of the open bracket. There was a very good article over on ESFI World that basically was MLG Providence open bracket preview number one, the heavy hitters. And when you take a look at some of this competition, there's no doubt that you're talking about, you know, some of the best players to have played the game so far, including MVP, Nesty, minus the last couple games we saw him play after yeah, Marine King, Osira, SC, and more. But these are the first six that they sort of focus on. The other thing that's interesting, and we did mention this last week briefly, that Idra, you are going to have the number one open winner in your group. And I know you're excited for that.
Of course. Yeah, because MC and Bomber weren't enough. We got to make that harder.
Right.
I think it's maybe Bomber will clear them all out, and I feel pretty comfortable versus him.
This is karma coming back for all of Greg's groups.
I got, like, two easy groups, and I started out with terrible fucking groups when I actually could have won an event. So
I believe in karma, because of my groups, I'm going to get... To get out of that bracket, I'm going to have to face, like, Drooby or something like that. That's my hope. And no, I'm not calling out Drooby, but he's not MVP.
Just say he's terrible. It's okay.
Are any of these guys seated? Are any of these guys going to be seated?
Yeah, there's some kind of seating. Like, who was I talking
Objective
to?
Seating?
Well, MLG points do it, so MVP is, like, second or third since he won in MLG. So I won't get him, at least. He won't be the first seed. I forget who the first one is.
Hmm. I'm gonna try to find that right. Oh, you mean who going into the open bracket? Because they do something, right?
Well, it's by MLG points.
Okay, that's right. So even if you haven't been put into the championship bracket, what you've accumulated will put you...
Still get X points for getting past one or two times the open bracket and all the way up to the previous pool play players and stuff.
Gotcha. All right, so, yeah, this is how it's... actually, I've got it right here, so we can just take a look at it. Impressive. All right, bringing that up right there.
Impressive.
Let's try that. There's the list right there. You've accumulated points throughout the whole thing. Idra. Other players, Kiwikaki, Slush, Hawk missing one in there for 2011. But there's the top 16 based off of their points, and everyone else underneath it will automatically get those seeds into the open bracket.
Yeah.
Okay.
But seeds aren't going to mean too much.
Like, it really won't, right? Just because there are so many goddamn people there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. I think it's the most stacked open bracket we've seen yet.
That's very safe to say. Very safe to say. As I mean, just like looking through here, my eyes just glanced at least one very well-known name. For example, Tuxedo Mask. Oh wait, that's from wrong. That's not. Sorry about that. I didn't mean that. No, seriously, you've got Joe. You've got SC in there. A bunch of the Complexity members. You've got even some of the sort of up-and-coming clans in VVV.
Leenok.
Yeah. Leenok is in
Violet's
there. That's right.
In there somewhere. Violet. Puzzle. I think Puzzle came just to lose to Todd again. No, that wasn't Puzzle. That was Alicia. But actually, I mean, one of the storylines, too, is that a lot of the top Europeans are not going to this tournament. And if you would have asked me a couple months ago, I would have thought everybody who's anybody would be playing in this tournament. Everybody. But that's not the case.
You're right.
So if we want to be a little bit critical, do we want to be a little bit critical inside the game?
I don't know. Go for it.
I'm not sure what
we could do then.
You guys are playing this safe. You're going to wait until I'm...
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure who we're being critical of yet. I'm all for being critical.
I like Greg's answer. That's actually probably dead on the money.
Yeah, what are we being critical about?
I mean, you can call it situational, but to a certain extent, too, there's whisperings coming out from some of these players saying that the MLG circuit is just a little bit too intense on the travel budget of a lot of these teams. So if you have a DreamHack Winter, which is domestic to European players, which has a comparable prize pool and is, you know, half the flight, then they're going to go to that. MLG prize pool for Providence, nobody's going to complain about that. It's absolutely massive. It's awesome. But there's 21 frickin' Koreans. There's a third of the Code S GSL players coming here. If you're traveling a player to get them into the top ranks of the tournament, I don't know that Providence is necessarily your best bet, right? If you're a team that has a smaller travel budget, and I don't know this to be the case, but let's say it's Quantic Gaming, for example. Sase is their big cannon there. They can't really afford to fly him from Korea or Sweden to Providence. And again, I don't know this, so please don't.
Right, you're a hypothetical example, right?
Stream chat going, we balanced our,
That makes sense.
That's the kind of situation where a tournament like this skews them out. So I think MLG's taking that into account next year where they're having fewer. Actually, I don't think they're having fewer. I think they're having more. But hopefully it just gets approached. Or this is just a fact of the matter for the reality of StarCraft II land. Is not everybody can go to every tournament because there's so many great ones that you actually get to pick the more affordable one and still get the same exposure.
Do you, do you think, and I can certainly tell you, I've heard this from guys like Stefano, who's like, frankly, I'm just not that interested in playing in the open bracket. And, it's hard to say, well, fault this guy for being realistic and knowing what his chances are, even though he's obviously a very good player as well. I think that there's quite a few people that are sort of in that same boat. And not to say they aren't really wrong. It is a tough thing. And I would say that a win out of the open bracket is probably like one of the biggest victories that one could pull off. It's also going to be one of the toughest. So, certainly
absolutely.
If it's like rolling the dice, then your odds and your chances are going to be, they're going to be tough.
Especially if you didn't get in early at MLG. Like the people who got in early, you can ride out the championship bracket for a long time, especially if you start accumulating points early on. For people, for people like Sase and Stefano, it's pretty tough to make it out of the open bracket and actually get some points. And even if you do, you're still going to be well behind people who have attended, 5-6 previous events. So I can totally understand the frustration where they're coming from in regards to that.
They've addressed that specifically. They haven't released what they're going to do exactly, as far as I know, but they've said that they don't like that someone can basically win big points and then ride it out for the rest of the season. So I think what we're going to see is a lot like what the Code S overhaul has been for GSL, where you have a bad tournament, you're out. You're out of that championship bracket. You're out of that privileged spot. And I think that's going to be really good for 2012. So hopefully that kind of volatility at the top end of MLG will inspire a lot of the players like Stefano, White Raw, those guys to say, okay, I don't have to go to every MLG, but the ones that I do go to will count for something, and I'll be able to cash in on that later as well.
Do we know if they're like completely starting fresh, or will the results of what happened at the national championship have an effect on?
Well, last year the top 16 was like the top 16 from last year or from the year before, but they're kind of overhauling everything, so I think no one really knows at this point. But another thing is they're also going to address like the problem specifically of Europeans and Asians coming over, the flight costs and stuff. They're going to start doing a lot more regional events from what I've heard. And they already had a German qualifier for Orlando. That's why Haswabs was there. He won a German MLG qualifier and got paid flight and hotel to the event. So I think they're going to be doing a lot more things like that in order to try and make it more worldwide.
Gotcha. And obviously having some of those expenses alleviated is really, really beneficial. Really beneficial in the long run. So, as we have Pain User returning once again.
And my audio keeps dying for some reason. I don't know. I keep hearing this like crazy buzzing like feedback sound, and then my audio just dies.
That's out of control, dude.
I don't know what's going on over here.
I don't know what's going on. It's like not a night of good sound, apparently.
Negative.
It's not a night of good sound. Any other storylines like that you guys are sort of interested in from
Warner versus Korean, man. We got Idra, Huck, and I think Nanny was still pretty highly ranked up there as really big guns. That the way this tournament works is, I think the fewest best of threes. Don't lock me into that word, but. Greg has to play like 8 best of threes to win this tournament, something like that, or even.
I think it's fewer. Less than that. I think it's like 6 or 7.
Yeah, it's like fewer than that. So
if you win through,
but it's a lot more harsh. It's not. It's just a straight bracket right now. It's not. There's no group play as far as I understand. Right, like you don't play 5 guys.
Right.
It's double elimination, so I do like that. I think every tournament should be double elimination. But if Greg catches fire, Huck catches fire. They only have to win like three best of threes or four, you know, and all of a sudden they're setting history. So that's pretty cool. And I've always been one of the guys that said I want a foreigner to win all these major events, and we've had a few in a row now, and we're looking at Providence. We've got all our big guns there, except for like Stefano and a couple others. Is White Rock going to this one? I think he's going to this one, isn't he? Or
I have no idea.
Anyways, that's what I like. I'm interested, but there's the Nesty and MVP final bosses. Of course, Huck did make Nesty look rather beatable just last night. Spoiler alert! Oh, no!
Oh, my God. How can you say such things?
I know. It's fine. I'm totally okay with that.
How can you? And there was actually, a lot of thoughts on some recent super high-tier Gosu Korean players just not really performing to their level. Oh, my God. Spoilers even more. But what do you guys expect? Is this going to be just any given Sunday type situation, or do you feel like there might be is there any additional motivation on the Korean side to win a competition like this, do you guys feel, or is that just another
that line of thought? I think is kind of silly. It's not like they show up to every other MLG and it's like, well, this is only $5,000, I don't really care. I mean, they are trying as hard as they can in all those situations. Maybe one of their team's values is more and they fly them in a few days early and they're not as jet-lagged as they are at the circuit events. I suppose that's possible. But no, it's not like they're blowing those off. It's not like they could be trying any harder here. They are always playing to win when something's on the line.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like they're in the U.S., so you know they want to do really well and show the world that Koreans continue to dominate the scene. You know, it's like their pride is on the line in a way as a country.
All around. I think it would be absolutely amazing to see a foreigner win this. I think that it would say a lot for sort of North American and European competition as far as pro gaming goes over 2010 and 2011. And I think it would be a pretty amazing milestone for sort of what the foreigner scene has accomplished thus far. So I would not lie. There would absolutely be a certain level of bias if we saw a foreigner versus Korea in the final matchup, but,
Of course.
Wait a second, were you about to say, there should be, damn it.
those comments always make me laugh. It's inevitable. Every single event when it's the commentators like Tastosis or Day 9 or somebody's commentating non-Korean versus Korean, they're like, you know, you don't get that kind of snooty, biased commentary in the GSL from the Korean commentators. And it's like, no, that's because they're the gods of StarCraft. It'd be really silly if they were up there laughing at the non-Korean that made his way to the Code A, like, first round, like, you tried to defeat JYP, you silly mortal. But in StarCraft 2 and in StarCraft, we come from a lineage, a history of players who are the underdogs, and if you are not a Korean, you are, by definition, when you face one of those top Korean players, you are considered the underdog. Deal with it. And it's really, really fun to cheer for the underdog. So when the bias comes out, people need to just understand what's going on. And it usually predates those people, too. There's very few people who are like, you don't see Nazgul from early Brood War professional days going, you know, I really don't like this commentary. I wish they would just completely neutral. Everyone's the same. Everything's fine.
Mining minerals.
Just mining minerals, please. Doesn't happen.
Mining minerals. And you know what? I just want to, speaking of jet lag, it looks like Tasteless and Artosis will be showing up a day before the event begins. So I'm really curious to see how that battle's going to go. We're going to have sort of a meta game going on because, you know, those two, I don't know if you've ever seen them recover from jet lag, but it's pretty hilarious. So I'm looking forward to that, but we'll be missing Sean at Providence here, unfortunately.
He's got a wedding, man. He's got his priorities in store.
That's right. Right. Some poor fool's getting married, and he's going to be a part of it. Destroying lives. Destroying lives.
Actually commentating the wedding. Did you know that?
I wouldn't be surprised, actually. I think that this could really have the potential to also be, like, maybe even exponentially larger of an MLG than we've seen in the past. Just based off of some of the hype and some of the threads and some of the discussion that I've seen before, obviously the Barcraft movement. Have you guys seen the Barcraft map yet?
No.
Oh my God, this Barcraft map is kind of out of control.
Hold on, I'm in the
What? It's not really surprising, given the player pool and the prize pool and all that. It's just, it's the national finals. It's designed to be 10 times bigger than all the circuit events, so that wouldn't really surprise
me. I mean, remember in 2010, the national championship? They took the number of
they
benches.
They doubled the number of benches.
Event.
Yeah.
They doubled the number of benches.
They multiplied it by six. Not
Didn't they have bleachers six at one? There were like two bleachers that sat like 20 people apiece.
Okay. You take your attitude, okay? You cram it.
No, they had that at three events.
Yeah, I remember people were getting in serious trouble for like sneaking into the other sections of the tournament and stealing chairs that weren't being used from all the other exhibits. Like, chairs. We were on a serious chair stealing rampage.
Oh yeah,
it's a precious commodity at MLG. Chairs are like ivory Tuscan like items.
Even people who bring their own, like, you know, $5-$10 chairs just to unfold in the middle of the aisle get like kicked out from time to time. It's like all these fire marshal rules and whatnot. It's ridiculous.
I don't know if you guys can actually see the stream right now or look at this Barcraft map.
I'll bring it up.
No one's going to be looking at it right now because Barrison's on screen.
If you just look at Barcraft map on... yeah, that's true. I should. If you just look at Barcraft map, then look at that.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is definitely your dog, man.
There's nothing in California, though. That's so bad.
What are you
bad.
Talking about? It's, I see
really
like
weird.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dots in California.
There should be like
40. Relative to the rest. Like, in StarCraft 1, there's a really, really high concentration of StarCraft players in California.
Yeah.
Look at that. Actually,
there's just a high concentration of gamers in California in general.
In fact, there's going to be competing Barcrafts here as I go closer to Anaheim. There's going to be one at Noble Ale Works, and like less than a mile away, 2 miles away, there's going to be Clancy's Clubhouse. Some fights could be breaking out over that shit in control. So I don't, or excuse me, Payne uses. So I don't want to be hearing about California not having bar crafts.
We need more in the Bay Area. There's like two.
And look at Europe. Look at these guys go. Holy shit,
they're
Germany
all,
hooking it up.
Simultaneous, right? It's all for Providence.
Yeah. How does that even work overseas? They get to watch just a couple hours of early or what?
After seeing that Montreal video from their Barcraft, I'm actually a little bit intimidated by it. Like, there could be a riot.
That was awesome.
there is no.
Oh, that was awesome.
I didn't see that. What happened?
They like cut to Montreal real quick, and it was just completely jam packed, and everybody went ballistic. They had like LED lights up on a little stage, and there's
oh my God, like yeah, like confetti
it was awesome.
And shit.
Yeah,
like,
it was out of control.
Afterwards, they were like handing out e pills, and it was a phone party and stuff. It totally converted it. So no, actually, it was pretty funny because it did look like almost a club.
It,
was
it
like
literally did.
It was pretty sick. Europe's pretty good, although I think we need to work on our Barcraft saturation in South America and Africa.
Yeah. If this were a risk for, clearly, some of these countries are not getting the attention they deserve.
Well, obviously. You never get involved in a land war in Asia. That's rule one of risk. There's nothing going on over there.
Yeah, I'm a little upset.
Are there really zero in Russia?
Yeah, apparently.
StarCraft is kind of big in
actually,
Russia and drinking's pretty big
I
in
bet
Russia.
I bet you, Idra, that there's like 40 in Russia, but the thing is that they just don't give
stuff.
A fuck. Right. So they're like, we do not need a fucking map to... exactly.
You change the StarCraft channels, you
we will get so more people than all those StarCrafts combined.
Step inside.
They just don't
drink
give a fuck.
In the snow.
Be like, what raw comes from Ukraine? We're good. Anyway.
I want to learn more about Odessa, Ukraine. See what it was like.
White Rock, that's all you really need to know.
For a young White Rock growing up on the streets of Ukraine.
I feel like it could be a documentary, and it would be on like Netflix right away.
I talked to those, are they Star Nation?
Yeah.
Star Nation, they're the ones that are doing the White Rock one. They said that he had a pretty rough upbringing. Not, they didn't go into detail, but I guess his town is pretty pretty gangster, man. White Rod's got some stories.
He doesn't have one knuckle because he punched a guy too hard, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
It's out of control. There we go.
Bears is gonna go cause trouble.
Oh, that dog. All right, well, I think all we're going to do is we're going to take a break. When we come back, by the way, if you're going to be in Providence, I hope that you'll say hi to the players and the host, but only when appropriate. You know, only when appropriate.
Please come say hi to me, yeah.
Come say hi.
Give him a I might not be there, man.
Smack on the butt. Dude, you better be there, man.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
See.
Bummer. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we will open up the phone line since we didn't get a chance to do it last week when we were live from the Twitch offices. So stick with us, and when we return, open phones here on Inside the Game. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We're back here now for the open phones portion of Inside the Game. Thanks for joining us here.
Green Image deserves asking Idris for help on their game.
What's or that? Telling me how to defeat Hellions.
Oh, yes. 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 You know those golden
colors.
That
one's still my favorite.
By the way, let me tell you a story. You could Skype us at DJ Weeder telephone 909-581-8519. Questions about anything? And everything. What do we get now? Oh, yeah. By the way, someone did mention that Coca did forfeit his Code S spot as a result of what happened. We left that out earlier.
Brutal.
No, we talked about that.
We did.
We mentioned it. Yeah.
All right. Let's double check in here. All right. Let's take our first call here, guys. I hope you're ready. Wait. Why does it sound like I'm calling Miles?
Hi,
what's up? Yes, we can hear you. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Thank you. So I don't know if you guys saw, but on Team Liquid there was an article about different methods of training and different ways of doing this. And sort of going along with that, I've noticed that in a lot of these Korean houses they have long lists of people they're training with. You know, Slayers has something like 20 people on their team. And I was wondering if we're going to see this model be adopted more by U.S. teams, and we're going to see more high masters players joining into American teams.
The difference, with regards to that specifically, you're not going to get high masters players joining teams because they're not worth practicing with. Korea has a much bigger player pool of players, so like you have, maybe the 100th guy isn't going to compete with MVP, but 50 through 150 best players in Korea, are still quite good, and they're good enough to be competitive against the pro gamers they're worth practicing against. So bigger teams have a lot more value in an area where there's a much bigger player pool.
Are you asking about Ghost of User?
I mean, I think he's certainly part of it, right? And he's a good example of Complexity has sort of adopted this model to a greater degree than other teams, but like, I don't
know,
that
was more
of
a talent search
kind of thing. One of these differences that isn't talked about much is sort of the depth of a lot of the Korean teams have in terms of their player lineup.
I mean, if you're asking about the depth of the Korean teams and comparing it to like bringing on unknown players to American teams to do the same kind of depth thing.
Yeah, and using them as practice partners, etc.
Well, I think part of the difference there is that the players that are being brought onto a team like Slayers, you would not necessarily regard them as high Masters players. Like, rank doesn't really matter. What's happened is they know somebody, or they've caught the eye of somebody, either through ladder rank, which would not be high Masters, would probably be Grandmasters, or tournament play or something like that. And then they would say, hey, how about I train with you? And that's how it's always been done in Korea. They kind of work into that way, and they go up the system there. But the same kind of stuff exists in non-Korean situations and tournaments. It's just we don't have the same level of talent to pull from, so it doesn't happen nearly as often. If you are a good enough player to catch the attention of a team like a Complexity and, you know, an EG or some of those teams, then you're going to do well in tournaments or have a big stream or, you know, you're going to do it through the conventional
You'll get threads. Noticed, yeah.
In Korea, it doesn't get broadcast as much how those people get onto those teams, but that's essentially how it works.
But, I mean, in the last year, EG has, you know, picked up Hawk, Puma. All of these are, you know, huge names in the industry. They're not picking up...
I didn't hear the rest of what he said, but I guess what he was going to say is we're not picking up unknown players, like...
Yeah.
Masters and stuff. And to your point, you're absolutely right, that's not happening. But some of the teams that are interested in that kind of development are. There's no way for me to escape this other than to sound like the biggest EG
biased
person ever. But there's the Greg point. But my point would be EG is very interested in star power and kind of having a roster of players that you really want to watch for their gameplay, for their personality, or for some, you know, there's just some kind of catch there. And certainly that doesn't mean that if you're not an amazing player, you don't have that, but it just doesn't happen nearly as often. So, I mean, EG's kind of a bad example. I would look at Complexity, a team that has an entire farm system built into their program,
yeah,
and say that stuff's going on right now.
Okay.
And just, cool. Like, you look at the competitive foreign scene, how many people have actually risen up and made a splash since, like, very early on? And only Stefano has really risen from... very, very low to top tier. There's just not that much turnover. Recruiting unknowns looking for talent isn't as efficient as it is in Korea, where there's actually a lot of up-and-coming players.
Yeah, and I think ultimately that's sort of my point, and sort of fundamentally my question is, why don't we see more of that turnover? Is it simply, like, as you're suggesting, a lack of good players, or is it something more than that?
Smaller talent, just a lack of really high-level Grandmasters players. There's not nearly as many here.
It takes roughly 10-ish hours a day to be at that level in this game. And if you're not getting a salary, if you're not traveled to these tournaments, then you are going to school, you're working a job, or you're doing other things. So it's really hard to find the perfect combination of a player good enough who hasn't already made it and also has the time and ability to do something that is really privileged.
All right, well, caller, thank you very much. We're going to move on. Appreciate
it.
Hopefully you got some insight there. And before the chat decides to get out their pitchforks, we're going to move on and see if we
got... What are they mad about now?
No, just, you know, in general, I think just they're ready to hear a new topic. So I think for the most part, they agreed with you guys. So let's take our next caller here. We got area code 402, local to me. What's up? Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's it going?
How's it going?
Hey, guys,
you,
how's it going?
He's just being funny.
We just wanted to ask you guys what you guys thought about the current win rates.
The current win rates?
For Protoss?
For Protoss. All right. What do you guys think? Is this like with new patch?
I think that you add the wins and the losses together.
I think if you count up all the race win digress,
I just wanted to know what you guys think. I mean, Protoss is kind of dropping. I just wanted to know what the pro gamer view was at this point.
Protoss is dropping right now, is what he said. I don't know if that's accurate, nor do I know if I could find it.
Yeah, is that
we're in a tough spot here.
Yeah,
I don't know. Better.
I'm trying to find the link frantically, but I'm not doing so hot here.
Got more Protosses in the code.
Features TLPD.
They're starting to win some events. I mean, I think the metagame's shifting around. We've seen Protoss players getting some success in Korea. We're seeing them doing well in the non-Korean world. I think now is a good time to just start working on our gameplay and move forward, man.
All right, thanks, caller, who was obviously on a delay there. Moving forward.
Trying to find the graphs.
Man, those graphs don't even exist, pain user. He's making that shit up in his mind. Jared, we got Jared on the line. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, guys. It was a pleasure to meet some of you in Raleigh. I was just curious, if you were placing bets on the Providence results, who would be your Korean and foreigner picks? I've got just like a bet going on with a buddy of mine.
Gentleman's bet, of course, right?
Gentleman's bet, yeah. Yes, yeah.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Pain user, you want to start with that?
MVP for Korean. It's really good. MMA, obviously, is really good. Is he even going to be there, though?
Yeah. He's first seed, actually.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, MVP and MMA would be my two Korean Terran picks for sure. And then foreigners, probably, like, I know Sase's not going to be there. Stefano's not going to be there. What good foreigners are actually going to be there? Greg and Huck are my two top foreigners. So MVP, MMA, Greg, Huck. And if I had to bet on one, I'd bet on MMA.
What does your cock say, though?
Well, Caro, who do you have you MMA. Made this bet with your friend yet, or what?
Yeah, just based on recent results, I'd go with MVP and probably Idra for my Korean and foreigner picks.
Okay, and so that's what did he go with?
He's going with Huck, and he's probably going to go with, I'm guessing, Nesty. I've chosen MVP.
Well, then you have some good choices right now, I think.
Okay.
I think you have some good choices. All right, thanks, Jared.
No problem.
Good luck. Good luck. I hope it doesn't involve anything where you're not wearing pants. All right. next caller, Kevin. He's got a cute picture of a dog for his picture. What's up, Kevin?
Is it as cute as Bearston?
Thanks for taking my
not
call.
Possible. I don't know if he's as cute as Bearston. He's
not possible.
He's like a pug. Is that
okay, now is I know pug. It's not possible.
All right. What's up? What's up, Kevin?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. My question is a little bit long. It's about game design and the interview that Knigget had with Dustin Browder at BlizzCon. And he asked Dustin Browder about the design of the races in relation to strengths and weaknesses. So the example he gave was that the Zerg army is fast and cheap, but weak in a straight-up fight, and the Protoss army is slow and expensive, but very strong. But he made the observation that Terran doesn't necessarily suffer from those kinds of weaknesses to the same extent. And Dustin Browder's response was to say that he hoped in the future all of the races would be more like Terran. And I wondered what you guys thought about it. Is the game more interesting if the races each have strong flaws, or if they don't?
I don't know. For me, the game is certainly more interesting playing Terran, but that's just personal. I've played all the races, and I feel like Terran has a lot more options than the other races in every matchup.
I mean,
all their matchups are super dynamic.
There is something to be said about at sort of the heart of the question. Like, if all races were truly like that, then doesn't it mean it's sort of up to the player to truly show their style? Like, or either I'm an aggressive Zerg or I'm a defensive Zerg, or as a Terran, I'm an aggressive Terran or I'm a defensive Terran.
Yeah.
I mean, do those things come out a little bit more? What do you guys think, Idra? What are your thoughts?
There's that, but there's also something to be said for racial diversity. It makes the game it makes it more interesting. There's more going on. A lot of people don't like mirror matchups just because everything is kind of the same. It's very hair's edge or knife's edge. It's easy to mess up. There's not. It's not as much fun when there's not a bunch of different aspects going into the game, and you can't make as many stylistic choices because you're pigeonholed into that one kind of thing. I think almost without fail, mirror matchups are the least favorite because they are less dynamic. I think that alone is reason to have different races if you can balance them properly. And that's always been one of the main reasons given for StarCraft 1 success. They had three very distinct races that were also pretty equally balanced. I think that's something to strive for, not to make three slightly different Terrans.
Yep. I mean, I would be a little bit concerned if the lead designer was looking at the game and saying, I want to make three Terrans, you know? And I know what he's getting at is that Terran has perhaps the most complete race where they're able to be defensive, offensive, you know, they have all these options, all their units function pretty coherently, they work together really well. We don't quite have that symmetry yet with Zerg and Protoss, but I want to just echo Greg's sentiments. I'd rather he looked at it as, this is Zerg. This is exactly what I was thinking. Swarming, harassy, fast, you know, cheap, lots of shit blowing up everywhere because they die, but they also kill some stuff while they die. Protoss,
occasionally.
You know, yeah. Protoss, the juggernauts. You know, when I think of Protoss, I think back to Brood War of the, like, amorphous ball of units that work together perfectly. The little individual micro that occurs within the machine itself is really cool to watch, but it's like this ball of death that moves around the map and has, you know, little prongs coming off it. I think that's a really cool style. And then Terran has always been the kind of catch-all, not necessarily neutral race, but the race that could do it all in the middle of the road. They weren't necessarily the best at harassing, but they had good harass. They weren't the best at being offensive or defensive, but they were, well, they're pretty fucking good at those things. But I don't know. I like the stuff they're talking about in Heart of the Swarm. I think it's getting towards that. We'll see, you know, what it actually takes shape. But I like the game the way it is now, too. Like, I mean, everyone talks about balance and stuff, myself included. And I certainly think there's still some tweaking to be had, and there will be. Nothing comes to mind at this very moment. But I wake up every day, I play this game, and I really enjoy it. Protoss, you know, has been struggling, but it's fun for me. It's fun to go into each day and say, what is Huck doing? What is Puzzle doing? What are some of these Protoss players doing? Hero that is beating everybody, and let's try and replicate that. So it's a bit of a journey.
Did that kind of answer some of your questions, Kevin?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Good luck in MMV.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's take a phone call here. We got area code 580 on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Yeah, my question is, I guess for all four of you, but mainly, I guess not as much Pain User because he's not as into the MLG scene. You guys, it seems like on the foreign scene, you prepare mostly for the MLG events and practice for those. With the downtime coming up, I know Greg said he's going to be spending a little bit of time in Korea, but what about the rest of you? What are you going to spend the next, 5-6 months preparing for mainly? Because, I mean, I know, like, Pain User is into the IPL, and you guys do some other tournaments online and stuff, but I was kind of wondering what your like, schedule is going to be like in the next 5 months, because it's going to kind of die down with MLG.
Greg, can you really quickly give me your 5-month schedule?
Actually, no, it's going to calm down when I go to Korea. I have, like, 9 tournaments over the last 2 months. But no, there's constantly, like, if you are a professional gamer, you're playing constantly. There's always tournaments. December is like the down month, and there's three or four big international tournaments in it anyway. There isn't a downtime unless you choose to take a vacation. So, and people don't only practice for MLG just because that is kind of like our focus, just because it's the big American league. There's everything else that's going on that's just as big, if not bigger, like IPL and all the European stuff. And honestly, MLG and IPL are going to start up much sooner next year because they're going to extend. Just it's not going to be as simple and as small as it was this year. So it's kind of a non-issue. Everyone's going to keep playing. Maybe take a break for the holidays or something. Me personally, I'm just going to go to Korea for 3 months and practice full time.
Same here. December's the month where some of us get to go back home and see our families. At EG, we live at the pro gaming house in Arizona, or in Greg's case, we'll be going off to Korea. So that's the chance to do that. But also, I've got some games sitting in plastic that I really want to try out. And also, it's really important to take some downtime for yourself. Like, if you're playing 10 hours a day in front of people all the time, it can get nerve-wracking. And I'm not trying to, you know, I enjoy it. I do it willfully. But December's an important month for us to take a break. So that's what that's going to look like. And then January onward, like Greg said, IPL, MLG, I'm sure the European scene's going to expand their scope as well. They've, you know, DreamHack has never been as big as it is, so they're getting more money. They're probably going to have more interest as well. And, you know, we just train for each tournament, just like we did the past year.
Payne, you're what's your 5 months?
I'm like, I mean, the more tournaments that we get to see you in, the bigger it is. I actually just started up my own Barcraft just recently in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and it's just, it's like so exciting to get several hundred people on to this kind of deal. And
is that how many you're getting?
Do what?
You're getting several hundred people at a Barcraft?
Yeah, we have a gamer club at Oklahoma State University, and we have over 200 people in the club, and everybody's just absolutely excited about it. And I just happened to have a bar owner in one of my classes, and he was like, "Yeah, let's do this."
Is he a StarCraft fan?
Excuse me?
Is he a StarCraft fan?
Oh yeah, he's a huge StarCraft fan, and I didn't know that when I asked him. So it's just really cool to see how big it's growing. The people that I wouldn't have normally expected to see them into esports as much.
Awesome, awesome. Well, good luck with that, dude. Good luck.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a good one.
Bye.
Payne user, do you have a 5 month?
Mainly just focusing on IPL and all the events we have coming up, getting better at casting, and then playing on the side and participating in whichever tournaments I can that don't really conflict with IPL, and that is still all kind of getting ironed out right now as far as like which do and don't, but
sure.
I don't know, we'll have to see.
Are you looking for any time off, dude?
Absolutely. I've been traveling for the last 2 months way too much. I'm definitely down for some downtime and some family time.
It's been out of control.
For sure.
It's been out of control. I'm looking forward to that myself. All right, we'll take a couple more here. We got area code 805 on the line. Welcome to Inside the Game. Hello. Hello. Goodbye. All right, we'll take our next one then. We've got area code 253. Welcome to Inside the Game. Hello.
Hi. I was wondering, like, for players from... from Brood War, like Flash and Jayong, I was wondering if they would be able to show any new skills or anything new that no one's ever seen in StarCraft 2 before, because I don't think there's a lot of people like trying new things as much in StarCraft 2 right now, and I was really hoping that they could lead the way and help like people understand the game better.
If there's something new that would be good, we would be doing it.
I don't know. I think they would definitely innovate on the game a little bit, for sure.
You think?
Even yeah,
with
absolutely.
All the people that are actually playing it?
I think they would,
The Korean
yeah.
strength isn't the creativity and the innovation and whatnot. It's the execution. Like, Jadong is not going to miss an inject or a creep tumor and whatnot. But he's no more likely than anyone who's already playing to come up with something revolutionary.
Yeah, people got to reel it in a little bit. Like, the big innovators, Korea had several innovators. Everyone else was mechanical monster. One of the biggest innovators was Boxer. Boxer plays full-time all the time, and he's innovated some pretty cool stuff, but You're not going to... Jadon is not going to sit down and go, what can I do with this game that nobody else has done in terms of strategy? He's just going to sit down and take what everyone else has done and do it better.
I don't know. I think you sell those guys short. Bisou, Jadon, and Flash, I think, definitely have Bisou, a pretty high Bisou's level. Like,
no.
You don't think so?
Flash, maybe. Jadon and Bisou were, like, pure mechanics.
Bisou innovated, like, the whole Forge Fast Expand into...
That's Quasar's fault. The Bisou build was nothing. He just did it a hell of a lot better than everyone.
So he just cloned that off other people.
I think Nalrath
got all the recognition for it.
Yes. Yeah, because he was good enough to make
it. He did it better than everybody else. That's the whole fucking point. Like, they did not innovate. They did. They took things that their elder players did, and they looked at it, and they did it better. Flash tweaked play styles, like his Blue Storm TVP was revolutionary at the time. His fast expansion aggression, that kind of stuff. Like, they'll push the boundaries of what people are doing, but they don't take and recreate. It's very few people that do that.
Who would you guys consider innovators in SC2 right now? By that. By those standards.
Ptosis.
I don't know.
I mean, this is a different era as well. Like, this is the game is still being figured out to a certain extent, so I think there's, like, too many innovators to name.
Yeah, everyone, especially, like, you look at CVP right now, which is in pretty big state of flux because the Infestor nerf and then the Protoss buffs. Everyone's trying different stuff, CVP. You have Mutas, you have Banelings, you have still Infestors, you have drops. Just everyone's doing everything because there isn't a set style to tweak yet. It's just everything is still so up in the air. And then on the other hand, we're just much more evolved in terms of RTS in general. It's not like we're still figuring things out. Everyone's already doing a very macro-focused style with the exception of various cheeses. There's just not as much to develop on a more general level as there was early on in StarCraft 1 when you had, like fast expansion PvZ isn't something new because Nalrath figured it out 10 years ago. That kind of thing.
All right. Thank you, caller. And I don't think we'll ever actually know. Who knows if there's still things left to innovate, but...
There certainly are. It's just whether or not we think that when Flash plays the game, he's going to be the
right,
guy to do it.
The
it's,
one.
Another thing, it's not going to be like revolutionary changes like newbies think of when they hear strategical shifts. It's going to be like small and subtle.
Yeah, minor things.
Yeah, and it'll make a huge difference, but it's not going to be like all of a sudden everyone's playing Zergling Corruptor as you would be here.
Although, Chris, now that you say that...
They're giving away the secret.
They're gonna take those pie charts we talked about earlier, and like in the diamond and lower league, it just plummets. Certainly, Corruptor doesn't work. I don't know what the fuck he's saying. So stupid.
This is supposed to be a show for strategical advice.
Pretty sure Mass Baneling Hydra is the future metagame.
Oh shit!
Off creep.
All right, off creep. That's
no. We got a hive tech speed upgrade for the Hydras now. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could actually be pretty badass.
Could it?
Or could be an awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, except.
To go Hydras, please.
Yeah, tier 3 units kill Hydras by sneezing on them, so it doesn't matter how fast they are.
Yep. Unless they moved as fast as Zerglings, Painter, and then we'd be good.
Yep. Just like dart in and dart out and fire one spine at a time before they all die.
That'd be the most amazing fucking thing this game has ever seen. All right, guys. So we're getting near the end of the show. It's only appropriate that we bring on the Inside the Game mascot, Goatless. Hello. Welcome to ITG. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not a great deal. What about yourselves?
I'm good. Will you guys?
Yeah. Nothing's up for once. It's nice. I've had a week off since the last tournament. I'm just kind of relaxing for LNG.
Chillaxing.
Chillaxing.
Just ready to lay down the law this weekend.
Yeah.
I think so. What's your question this week?
So anyhow, it's looking like NEST is starting to get a little bit more shaky as the Zerg hero. And, Lysira, he's always going to be a couple of rungs below NEST, and Dongrai Goo looks like a bit of a flash in the pan at this stage, and then Xenio's never been much chop, and Coco's gone and fucked himself over, and Leenok, he's pretty good, I think he's shown, but he probably doesn't have the time to put into the game at this stage. I'm just thinking, like, with Greg going to Korea, like, is this shit all going to come together? And we're going to see something fucking amazing happen.
Like, is Greg just going to be like the world Zerg after this? Because all the other Zergs in Korea, they're just fucking falling apart over there.
I am the best. That's awesome. it's too early to write Nessie off. I mean, he had a terrible fucking game versus Huck, and he lost his ZVZ. I didn't see the game versus MMA, but MMA always beats MMA. I don't know. It's really up in the air, but we'll have to see. Also, Zergs aren't going to beat Protoss for the next 2 months, so there's that to consider.
Kind of sucks, man.
It does suck. I really dislike that part of it.
Why?
Because ZVP is broken. Protoss is going to figure it out soon.
It's mad broken, I agree.
What's the issue? Defensive macro toss upgrades?
Mainly that. Yeah, if you just turtle and then go warp prism harass and then you get a mothership out before there's 10 broodlords and you vortex it, yeah, you kind of win. Timings are strong too. Immortals are fucking good. There's everything about it. It's terrible.
Warp prism harass
with
like...
You make an entire show based on Greg bitching about StarCraft things.
Fuck Protoss.
I'd be okay with just...
You could call it imbalanced.
Nodding. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going back to Korea. That could happen.
Oh, that's true.
Protoss is imbalanced. I'd love that day.
That's true.
Tell you what, if Heart of the Swarm goes in as is, I will gladly sit and make the same face Pain User makes when we talk about Banshees. What? No. Mass Recall is totally fine. Arc Rush? So what if I'm 207 and 5 on the ladder? I don't
know.
I think it's totally fine. PvP is really hard these days, you guys. You don't understand. I'm playing a lot of PvP.
Oh, shit. Well, you know what, Greg? I hope you become the world Zerg, regardless.
That would be nuts.
Yeah.
That'll be it, won't it?
It will be. Well, but you're kind of right. Like, the Zerg chance is not looking so hot lately. Terrans just continue to win shit. Good on them, man.
Because we're just better.
I think that's probably it.
Definitely.
I think so. I think it has a lot to do with it. You know, it being number 3 of the other 2 reasons why Terran wins all the time. We'll talk about the other 2 at a different time, though. Go, Lester. You got any other questions for these guys?
I just wanted to ask In Control. He seems to mention that that Warhammer shit quite a bit, and he said he was getting some of the other guys into it. And I was just wondering, like, what are the races some of those guys at your place are playing?
Machine is collecting a Necron army, and they just got their new codex, which is essentially a patch for people that are not familiar with Warhammer. And then DeMuslim he has a Terran army, but he's thinking about going, I think it's Dark Eldar. But he's a blimey toad, so he takes forever to do anything. So people gotta tweet at him and harass him and tell him to buy that stuff. He's like, I don't know. They're so darn expensive. It costs £14 to buy anything. Warhammer. Like, then you make good money and you're not hurting for it. Well, it's the future to plan for, love. Can't just buy things willy nilly.
Those are all direct quotes, by the way. So.
Bug out.
And we'll see. I'm going to collect a second army probably in December. I'm going to get Grey Knights, and what that army will be is like my fun army, but also if Strifeco wants to try it out, or Greg someday.
I don't play other games.
Son of a bitch. We'll see.
Except for Street Fighter and Marvel. Apparently. No
and Warhammer. Pokemon. You played Pokemon.
Yeah, if a Pokemon MMO ever comes out, I'm done with StarCraft.
How come you're not getting Pain User into the Warhammer shit?
I saw it.
I wouldn't get anybody involved. Like, the thing about Warhammer, it's like the most fun I've ever had. I love it. It's my favorite game to play. I love the models. I love collecting them, everything. But when you go to a store to play, like a shop at a tournament, there's either 12-year-old uber nerds that, like, terrify you with just how nerdy they are, or there's 76-year-old uber nerds. That's the range. It's 12.
Which one is better if you had to play with uber nerds for the rest of your life?
I don't know the difference. Okay. They're both terrifying. So you need friends to play with. You got to have people who are around your age and that you love, you know, spending company with, you have beers, that kind of stuff. But there's some cool people in Arizona that, I guess, play the game. So I'm hoping the community is pretty cool. We'll see.
Good luck with that. I hope you
play. Were you ever into Magic the Gathering?
No, I like to watch, though. I like to learn stuff. I never played, though.
Yeah.
Magic
same kind of deal.
Gathering's
like,
going to make a comeback, guys.
It might, man. I mean, if you're into collecting, like, you know, models and stuff like that, like, some of the paintings for the Magic cards are really cool. That's how I got into it originally, was just collecting all the cool paintings. Then I got into the game.
Pages actually owns a couple of rare cards in which naked women appear.
Yeah, I do.
They're worth a lot
For zero mana.
Yeah. Are worth a lot of money.
How much?
And you don't have to tap.
How much are they worth?
I have some old, like, alpha edition cards that are probably worth maybe, like, 20 to 40 a piece.
Okay. And where do you live?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely don't fall for that trap. All right, Golos, thank you very much.
All right.
Are you going to a bar craft? Are you going to a bar craft this weekend?
I might.
Probably not.
What do you mean probably not?
I don't
not?
Really drink.
You don't drink?
You don't drink?
People don't go to bar craft.
Holy shit.
You could go to a bar craft and be like, I'm goatless, and you would be popular.
Hey, barkeep, some of that old Guinness.
Where do you live?
Imagine you all fucking drunk.
Oh, I live in Brisbane.
There is one.
What's this?
Hold on. I'm checking it out for you right now. I'm getting the info. It's going to be at the Mana Bar. That sounds like a place you've been to before.
All right. Hey, good day.
No, seriously.
I'll have to check it out, eh?
It's on 426 Brunswick Street.
Oh, 426 Street, Brunswick.
Is that near you? I don't know how big Brisbane is.
I can certainly get there.
Fortitude Valley.
Fortitude Valley.
I think you should go, and then you should report. It is. It's in Fortitude Valley.
Mana Bar.
You should go and report back to us.
Report back, eh?
Next week, yes.
Manabar.com.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll see what I can do for you guys. I'll go out of my way.
All right. If you do, I will tweet that the legendary Goatless is going to be at Mana Bar.
Order and our fosters.
They will get five times as many people that were going to be there originally. I guarantee
you. Now it's in for the first time. Goatless.
All right. Awesome.
I'm inside the game.
I can't wait.
I might have to have a shave then, eh?
You might. I don't know. I haven't seen a picture of you, Goatless. So.
I don't know, dude. I'd imagine
I'm not exactly presentable at the moment.
What do you mean
just,
you're not
it's
exactly
It's just going to be a bunch of dudes watching StarCraft. I think you'll be all right.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to
I respect that, Goatless. You clean yourself up. That's a good idea.
Inside the Kangaroo, the story of an Australian StarCraft
fan. Don't want to be the next slasher.
You don't want to be the next slasher. You're absolutely right. Please, for the love of God, don't be. So
I'm trying to picture Goatlust with a beard right now, and it's just not working.
It's a red beard.
It's a red beard, like fucking Ghibli.
Not like Ghibli. It's red. It's red from the blood of his enemies. Pain user.
Yeah, he's kissed my
fire. Like Ghibli.
Goat lust, son of lust.
Yeah.
Son of Gimli. All right, buddy. Let us know. We look forward to that. All right, take care.
Fucking tear it up, gents.
All right.
Have a good one.
Peace. Bye-bye.
Good day.
I love how, like, my imagery of Goat Lust, like, changes
just
from show
totally
to show.
Changed.
Like, from show to show. Now I'm just going to see Gimli and my axe.
Right. The ring cannot simply be destroyed.
Dude, come on. Oh, yes, here it is. Thank God it's available on YouTube in just a couple of clicks.
What?
What?
And my axe.
Yeah, just look up "and my axe" YouTube, and you get a good idea of what Goat Lust.
Roaring
is,
fires
is rocking.
Ripe meat of the bone.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Okay.
Aren't you a Lord of the Rings fan? Come on. Hold on. My sword. Here it comes.
I like the battles.
And you have my bow. And you have my bow.
And my ox.
That's just like it's ox. Like him.
It's not. You're not putting it on the stream.
What? Oh, want me to put it up there? It's that important. Go ahead.
I saw the last Lord of the Rings in theaters in I'm not quite sure why, but I was in New York, and pretty sure that's where I saw it. And at every scene where they like locked eyes for just a little bit too long,
oh god,
these guys behind us would go, "Just fucking kiss them already, god, get it over with, just fucking do it." And they would do it all the time. And finally, I turn around, getting ready to yell at these guys, and four of the biggest gay men I've ever seen in my life were sitting behind me. And I didn't know how they produced that voice. It was very feminine. It was very small. But I turn around, and they could have eaten me. I had
to think your family.
I was like, "You son of a..." Enjoy the film. I turned back around.
Wow.
They ruined it. They ruined it for me. So every time I watch the movie, all I hear now is, "God, just suck his cock already. God."
Oh,
honestly,
boy.
Towards the end of the movie, I thought it was over at six different points after they threw the ring in the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Return of the King is horrible like that.
I was just like,
sure.
And cut. And cut.
And they
like,
and they
nope.
Keep on, yeah. Yeah, they keep on going. Just wait till
couldn't
the Hobbit,
couldn't have done
man.
It without you, Sam.
Just wait till the Hobbit.
Oh, Sam. Mr. Frodo.
I'm going to take this little raft. Place for
so bad.
I really hope that Goat Lust actually goes to that bar craft and, like, starts it. I just want to see pictures of Goat Lust everywhere. And I hope he takes an axe and has this little leather helm and stuff. Be awesome. So we don't know if we're going to see you, Peyton User, but hopefully we will see you, Greg and Jeff. We'll see you at MLG here in the next couple days. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, sir. I can't wait. Awesome. Does anyone know if it's snowing there?
It is not, but it will be cold.
I want snow and I want cold. Here's my theory.
What?
Ready? I'm bigger than everybody else. Everybody else gets really cold. Their hands freeze up. They can't play very good. I win.
Done deal. Done deal. I like that. I like that philosophy.
When sports get so big, we're in stadiums. Players will start putting on weight so they can insulate themselves from the harsh conditions of StarCraft outside. I'll be ahead of the curve.
There's actually something to that. I like playing on stage and MLG so much better just because it's fucking hot in those booths and my hands don't get stiff like they do out in the open area.
Maybe that's the key. That might be some of the key.
It is kind of nice to be somewhat warm. You gotta get the Korean hand warmers, man.
I don't think those help that much. I don't know. My hands stiffen up while I'm playing, man. I mean, it's better than nothing, but yeah.
Yeah. Wear fingerless gloves. Go emo mode.
Yeah.
Cut holes in a bunch of gloves.
You wanna wrap things up? Pain User, final thoughts?
Thanks everybody for watching. Thanks friends, fans, Team Check 6, IPL and IGN. Stay tuned for the Codop UK multiplay tournament. It's gonna be the same weekend as MLG, so hopefully people are tuning into both. And thanks you guys for having me on the show. Go get some food. Starving.
I am too, man. I'm going to eat my spaghetti.
I'm hungry.
It's going to be great. Idra.
Like usual, fans, supporters, everyone watching, Team Evil Geniuses, all my great teammates and our sponsors, Intel SteelSeries, Monster Kings, and HyperX, Beyond Gaming. Go check out the rest of them at myeg.net.
And Control.
Yes. I want to give a special shout-out to Mr. Jack McIntyre, who's been fixing our stream overlays and working behind the scenes to make NEG a better experience, so his Twitter is ScopeySE2, but he's one of the guys that does a lot of work for esports behind the scenes, so mad props to him. Team Evil Geniuses are main, you know, our big sponsors, Intel, Monster, SteelSeries, Kingston HyperX, everybody else. Big props to them. My wonderful, beautiful girlfriend. There she is. She can't hear us right now.
She's not watching the show.
That's her.
She's not so wonderful if she doesn't support the show.
You're not watching the show.
My wife is watching the show, and she doesn't even play, man. She just thinks that you guys are great.
DJ Weed's wife is watching the show. And you're not.
Wow.
She said that she's shopping online for other dresses and stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
that clearly takes precedence.
That's okay. Then.
No, she didn't. She helped me, but I didn't correct this. She's like in a meeting for EG or something like that. She actually works as a manager. So, but I do want to thank her. So big props to her. And then, you know, follow my Twitter, EG and Control. And then I've started streaming again. I think I'll stream tonight, but don't hold me to it. And then certainly after MLG, I'll be streaming a whole bunch. And that's In Control TV on Twitch TV. So check that out. And then do come say hi to me at Providence, please. I like to meet people. This will be my last opportunity for MLG the MLG circuit for 2012. And wish me luck, because I'll need it. And I'm working hard, and hopefully it'll pay off. We'll see.
I would just like to say thanks for everyone tuning in. I think I have just seen probably the most awesome thing that I've ever seen in my whole life in the last 30 seconds of this show. I'm just going to go out with this because I feel like I've never experienced this level of jealousy on the internet before, ever. And right now, as I'm looking at this crocheted mutalisk that is also like a puppet, so it actually fucking flies. Amazing. Totally amazing. I will see you guys in two. What is so goddamn funny, Pain User?
You're so randomly.
I was just looking for crocheted mutalisk.
What? I saw it's a freaking, look at this thing. That is not the most badass thing ever. Why contact
that's
this person
awesome.
Immediately? This is all I want for Christmas is one of these fucking crocheted mutalisks that I can fly around and go make the fucking mutalisk noise.
Right there. You're doing that thing girls do.
What?
Where they're like, you're like, this is so cool. Man, if there's only a way, if I could, I mean, if anyone would almost, I don't know, make me one. Or
no, I just told my wife to buy it for me. It's done. There's my Christmas present. I don't need any of the fucking 360 or PS3 games I would ask for. What I can't go to a store and buy is a crocheted mutalisk by this guy right here. Obviously,
like
he's Asian. He's obviously a genius. He could probably fucking manufacture like 20 of these things a day. I want in. I fucking want in. I want in.
That? You get that, and I will bring a crocheted stalker, and I'll knock it out of your hands.
I want in. Okay. Nice. Please, we'll have like little wars. It'll be cute. It'll be great, Jeff. I can't wait. We'll have like Warhammer crossovers and shit. It'll be badass. All right. No, guys, seriously. Thanks for joining us on Inside the Game, episode 21. Hopefully, you guys are going to be heading to MLG Providence this weekend or the I-44 event, the IPL UK qualifier. Regardless of where you are in the world, it looks like you'll have some StarCraft to watch. So have no fear. Go check out a local BarCraft, support all that shit. And we will see you guys on another episode of Inside of the Game next week where we talk about MLG, how it went, and tomorrow we will have Live on 3. That'll be run by Sir Scoot, so definitely hope you come on by onemoregame.tv and check that out. Guys, thanks again. Appreciate it. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. We're out of here. Peace. Thank you.